In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. His Holiness Pope Tawadros II, the message of the Pope, I congratulate you, all of you, for this glorious feast of the Nativity and the new year of 2014. I wish upon all of you the blessings that come with the birth of the one who was born in a manger. Blessings of goodness, joy, peace, and love for everyone in Egypt and in all our churches throughout the world, all who celebrate the new year by the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation of God is an event that combined the earth and heaven, and God, through his love for mankind, was incarnated and came to mankind. As we learn from the verse that is often referred to as the Little Gospel, John 3:16 states, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This meeting of heaven and earth was a meeting from God, who gave us his love by coming down from above to mankind. This was also a meeting from man who showed his eagerness of going up to God. This meeting happened in the fullness of time, as stated in the Holy Gospel and in the womb of our mother, the Holy Virgin, St. Mary, where he was incarnate by his love. In the creation of man, God showed his love to everyone. In his incarnation, he confirmed this love. In his crucifixion and resurrection, the Lord concluded his great love toward man. In fact, in the story of the Nativity, we have plenty of contemplations. We read about the heavenly star. We read about the earthly manger. We read about the people who came from the countries. And we read about all people who were all close to the place and of the event. We read about all young people, such as the shepherds, our mother, the Virgin Mary. We also read about elder people, such as Saint Joseph the Carpenter, Saint Simon the Elder, and Saint Anna the Prophetess. We read about all kinds of people. But the world at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ was classified into two main groups, Jews and Gentiles. And there was a separation between heaven and earth. Heaven is full of angels and heavenly creatures, and the earth is full of people who were divided into Jews and Gentiles. In the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, those three groups came together. First, the shepherds who were awake arrived. Those shepherds were very simple people, were from the simplest sector of the Jewish society. Their work and efforts were in the wilderness with the flock that used to shepherd, and out of those sheep the sacrifices were selected to be offered. The shepherds were always traveling and did not have a place to dwell. Even their witness were invalid in courts, but the Lord had chosen them for their honesty and simplicity. God wanted to honor them, so he revealed to them his birth by the angel who appeared to them, saying, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. The awakening shepherds were Jews, and if God had chosen the shepherds to represent the Jews, the rest of the reset of the world were considered pagan Gentiles. As such, God had chosen the worshipping Magi on behalf of the Gentiles. They came from far countries in the east. They endured the long travel. The roads were not like what we have now. They were scientists in astronomy and predicting events that may happen. They traveled for long periods, coming from the far countries to search and worship the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. We all know the story, but the most important points were that they reached their goal and they were considered high class in their society. They arrived to Jerusalem, to the place of the manger where the baby Jesus Christ was, and offered their gifts. By their gifts, they expressed their eagerness to witness the born King of the Jews. Therefore, the earthly world came to the manger, to the Lord Jesus, in two groups. In addition to the third group, which was from the heavenly world, represented by the multitude of singing angels, the angels were singing the famous song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Everyone was presented in the manger, and around the Lord Jesus Christ, the earthly world was presented by the two groups of the Jews and Magi, and the heavenly world represented by the angels. What we are most interested in that, in what I would like to put before your eyes, in the fact that the Magi, who came from the far country, presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Most of us know that gold is a symbol of being a king, frankincense is a symbol of his priesthood, and the myrrh is a symbol for his suffering and crucifixion. These gifts signifying those characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question here, why did they choose those gifts specifically? We all know that the gift is offered according to the taste of the giver and according to the condition and position of the receiver. So, why did they choose those gifts? I would like to tell you that these gifts, which were offered by the Magi, symbolize the life of a man. The life of man throughout his entirety is considered characterized by gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, every one of us through life has days of gold, gold days, days of frankincense, and days of myrrh. The days of gold are the days of success, good health, victory, wealth, and days of comfort, as well as all days of joy, either at work or business, various successes or study. Each are considered the gift of gold. The gift of frankincense presents the days of work, study, labor, hard efforts, services, other days that take large space in the life of a man. The days of myrrh, as the life of man should have time of merit according to this philosophy of these gifts presented by the days of the grief, tribulations, need, suffering, illness, all the days in which man aches from negative emotions and anxiety. All those are presented by the gift of merit, but all the gifts presented represent the mix of man's life. Each of our lives fall into the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's why if there are days of myrrh, there will be days of frankincense, and there will be days of gold. In the life of man, as the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love God. All the days with all their kinds work together for good to those who love God. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ gives us hope, courage, and new life and a new vision for our daily life. I congratulate all of you, all clergy, congregations, families. I would like to especially congratulate you, our youth and our children. I congratulate every church with their board, servants, and deacons. I ask the Lord to give you grace and to fill your life with joy, the joy of nativity, every single day. May our life be for the glory of His name, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Pope Tawdros II.
The Nativity Message of His Grace Bishop David. My beloved children in Christ-loving Diocese of New York and New England, Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and from the Holy Spirit our Comforter. I wish you all blessings from our Lord during this blessed feast, in which God's great love is revealed to us through sending His only begotten Son to save us by the action of the Holy Spirit. His name was Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Number one, God created us to be with Him. An enigmatic aspect of the Christian understanding of the mystery of God is that He is transcendent yet immanent, uncontainable, and yet He is willing to dwell in each one of us. God created us not to be distant from Him, but to be close to Him and to have true fellowship with Him. As a loving father who wants to embrace his children in his fatherly bosom, God created us in his image in order to enjoy such an intimate relationship with him. No other creature on earth was granted the dignity of being created in God's image. Man was meant to appreciate and find delight in being with God. However, man chose to be separated from God by sin. Number two, God came to us to be with us. Yet God did not abandon us to the end, but in the fullness of time, God sent His only begotten Son to save us. Saint Athanasius says in his masterpiece treatise on the Incarnation, "You must understand why it is that the word of the Father, so great and so high, has been made manifest in bodily form. He has not assumed a body as proper to his own nature, far from it, for as the Word, he is without body. He has seen manifested in a human body for this reason only, out of the love and goodness of his Father for the salvation of us men. By his birth, life was manifested, and the true light shone upon those who were sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. Our Lord came to be with us and to dwell in us. This is how close God wants us to be in Him. He condescended and took our humanity in order that He can abide in us and us in Him," said Saint Augustine. "He called out, proclaiming, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. Nor had I known him as the food which, though I was not yet strong enough to eat it, he had mingled with our flesh. For the word became flesh so that your wisdom, through whom you created all things, might become for us the milk adapted to our infancy.'" Now it is our choice to choose life and walk in the light, or to remain in the death of sin and walk in the darkness. 3. God wants us to be with Him in eternity. In His prayer on the night of His crucifixion, the Lord Jesus revealed His yearning for us to be with Him. "Father, I desired that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." What is eternal life? It is nothing more or less than being with God. Saint John wrote in the book of Revelation, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Number 4. Do we want to be with God? What is our state regarding this matter? Do we want to be with Him as He longs to be with us? Do we desire anything besides Him? Or can we say with the great prophet David, "Whom have I in heaven but you, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside you?" Psalm 73:25. What is that is taking us away from Him? What on earth is worth losing a relationship with the Lord? It is a choice that each one of us has to make today. Can I commit and consecrate all my life, all my love, all my heart and mind, all my time and all my being for him who loved me first? Trust me when I say to you, my beloved children, there is absolutely no joy away from him. As Saint Augustine further reminds us, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. God created us in his image. God is love, and those who have tasted him knows his love. We all search for love, but we search for love in the wrong places. Saint Augustine had that experience prior to his repentance. His confessions, he says, late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. And it was there that I searched for you. In my unlovingness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. May he always be the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And may we proclaim with Saint Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. I wish you all a blessed feast of the glorious Nativity. Pray for me, His Grace Bishop David, servant of the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of New York and New England. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.